In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. He is risen. Hallelujah. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hallelujah. Remember how he spake unto you. Hallelujah. The Son of Man must be crucified, and the third day rise again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. Lord God, The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Merciful Father, dear Heavenly, merciful God, dear Heavenly Father, we give thee most hearty thanks that thou didst raise up thy Son from the dead, and from his tomb hast caused the light of eternal life to shine upon this sin-darkened world. And we beseech thee, at this holy season of solemn joy, grant unto us thy Holy Spirit, through the means of thy precious gospel, that we may gratefully embrace Christ's vicarious atonement for our sins, and confidently cling to the justification that for his sake thou didst declare for all mankind, that as the fruit of our faith we may serve thee henceforth in pureness of living, in the sure anticipation of life and glory everlasting in heaven, through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our risen Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Your devout attention is now directed to the reading of an epistle lesson specially chosen for this, the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord Jesus. The same being found in St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, reading from verse 12 through verse 20 as follows. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is not Christ risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. That's why the epistle lesson.
Alleluia. 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 Thank you.
Here now also the Easter Gospel, appointed for this special Sunday, as we find it recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16, reading from verse 1 through verse 8, as follows. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Thus far, the Holy Gospel. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation this morning is the Thomasius Gospel selection appointed for Easter Sunday, the parallel of the Gospel lesson read before from St. Mark. The same being written in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, reading from verse 1 through verse 8 as follows. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Dearly beloved brethren and friends, fellow hearers of his precious, most wonderful word. The psalmist of the Lord writes, Psalm 118, verse 24, This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Indeed, when we Christians wish one another a happy Easter, how can it be otherwise? For this is the most joyful, the most uplifting, yea, the most spiritually exhilarating day in the whole year for the child of God. It is without doubt the highest and most significant festival on our Christian church calendar, more significant even than Christmas and Pentecost. For this is the day, the very day almost 2,000 years ago, on which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the dead. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to merely nominal Christians for whom Easter is one of two occasions on which they feel compelled to put in an appearance at the house of God. And it certainly gets short billing, if any billing at all, in the marketplace of this world where spring outfits, flowers, bunnies, eggs, and candy are what Easter is all about. But for us Christians, who know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior's mighty resurrection on Easter morning is the greatest cause for rejoicing that there is. Why? Oh, beloved of the Lord, it is because the physical, the real, the absolutely certain resurrection of Christ on the third day is essential to our faith and salvation. In the epistle lesson read before, we heard the Apostle Paul declare just how essential it really is. If Christ be not raised, if this never happened, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died confiding in him as their Savior, are perished. They're in hell. Now that's putting it about as bluntly as it can be put. Did you get that message? If Jesus Christ had not in fact risen from the dead with his real body, as he promised, then we and all believing Christians down through the centuries have been plain fools. Suckers. Hopelessly naive victims of the greatest hoax ever to have been pulled off in the history of this world. Our faith is empty and meaningless, and there is no life beyond the grave. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, as do all those who preach and believe a purely social gospel, then Paul says, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, he assures us. Jesus' resurrection is a fact, established by many infallible, airtight, unassailable proofs. Proofs which even the scoffers of this world are unable to shake. And our faith in Christ Jesus is therefore vindicated, reassured, and strengthened. Let us therefore not spend these precious moments this morning refuting the foolish theories of unbelieving skeptics, nor even reviewing those many proofs which we know so well, or certainly ought to know by this time, concerning which we refreshed our memory earlier in our Bible class this morning. And which we have briefly summarized on the back cover of our Easter bulletin. But let us take this opportunity to rejoice in what our Savior's resurrection means for us and for our eternal salvation. Shout for joy with me this morning. This glorious Easter tiding. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Would you like to try that again? I didn't hear you. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And as we explore Matthew's gospel account before us, we will see the cause for our Easter euphoria. The glorious fact that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead lies, first of all, an act of triumph. Secondly, a message of joy. And thirdly, a mission of hope. Evangelist Matthew, writing by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. The other writers explain that the women intended to complete the embalming process, only begun on Friday afternoon, but not finished because of the Jews' preparation day and the Sabbath, which was to follow. These women fully expected to find Jesus' body right where they left it, definitely dead, as established by the medical evidence, temporarily wrapped in long linen burial windings, and by now quite cold and rigid in the rigor of death. Just what we too would have expected under similar circumstances. Hoping against hope, but not yet really believing as a literal prophecy, Jesus promised that he would rise again on the third day. And if they had indeed found his body that morning, as expected, death would have won a great victory. Their faith in Jesus as their Savior would have been vain or meaningless. And they would have remained disillusioned, distraught, terribly sad, and even despairing. For had not all of their hopes faded at the foot of his cross as they watched helplessly with tear-filled eyes the lifeblood of their precious Jesus dripping drop by drop from his precious veins? This was a sad walk for those ladies as they prepared to render yet one loving service upon the body of their dead friend. When suddenly, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. You see, the Lord Jesus didn't just sneak out of his tomb on Easter morning as if he wanted his resurrection to be the Christian church's best-kept secret. No, he exited that prison with fanfare and flair, the very powers of nature taking part in his praise. And a heavenly messenger single-handedly whisking that heavy stone aside to reveal the empty void behind it. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The military guard placed there by Pontius Pilate at the Jews' insistence, lest someone come by night and steal his body and say that he has risen from the dead. Those tough, seasoned soldiers saw this angel in his heavenly brightness, and they passed out cold. cold. You see, the body of Jesus wasn't being stolen. It was already gone. Christ's resurrection was no covert operation. It had been planned, as it were, in eternity already. It was prophesied ahead of time to friend and foe alike. It was no secret. And it was executed right on schedule, on the third day, at the rising of the sun on the third day, at the earliest moment possible, in spite of every effort on the part of Jesus' enemies to prevent it. It was executed with a display of divine power to proclaim that Jesus is truly the Son of God. This was an act of triumph on Jesus' part, not over merely earthly foes and obstacles like a heavy stone lying across the door of the sepulcher or a quaternion of Roman soldiers standing there to guard the entrance. But this was a triumph over the heretofore unimaginable. The defeat of sin, the defeat of death, the defeat of Satan. Jesus triumphed by satisfying God's justice for man's ransom. He was delivered for or because of our offenses, Paul writes to the Romans. He was delivered up to suffer and die because of our iniquities, so that his holy, precious blood could cleanse us from all sins, so that he could make the payment that God's punitive justice required for our justification. And Jesus was raised for or because of our justification, to show that God in heaven had accepted Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the tree of the cross as payment in full for the reconciliation of the world. And for Jesus' sake, God forgave every human being. He reconciled the world unto himself, believer and unbeliever alike. That's why the Father raised Jesus from the dead, in testimony of his triumph over sin. But Jesus also triumphed over death. By his mighty resurrection from the grave on Easter morning, he abolished death, the Bible tells us. He made death obsolete and hath brought life and immortality to light. Now, because of Jesus' triumph, we too, by faith in his resurrection, can laugh death in the face, confessing with all boldness and confidence, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's done now. The strength of sin is the law. That has been satisfied now. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. or when we cling to Him in childlike faith, He promises us, because I live, ye shall live also. There's simply no doubt about that. And, my dear rejoicing fellow sinners, Jesus also triumphed over Satan. First of all, by His death upon the cross, wherein He endured also the pains of damnation for us, the wages of sin. But by His resurrection on the third day, Christ showed Satan His victory. As soon as He had been made alive in the grave, Christ descended into hell, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, to proclaim His victory over that old serpent, the devil, whose head He had crushed on the tree of the cross in fulfillment of God's promise to Adam and Eve. Now that foe of Christ and man can no longer lay claim to us who have been redeemed from his wicked slavery by our Savior in His vicarious atonement. He's done. And now we, empowered by our Savior as the victor over Satan, we can, steadfast in the faith, resist the devil, and he will flee from us, the Bible says. Our Savior's mighty resurrection from the dead is not only an act of triumph, it is also a message of joy and peace. The angel answered. He responded to the fear and trembling and astonishment of the women, and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." This message is pure gospel. Don't keep on being afraid. There's no need to be fearful. Why? "Because," said the angel, "Jesus was crucified, bearing your sins in his own body on the tree, so that now you have no punishment to look forward to." There's no need to be fearful. Why? "Because Jesus is risen," said the angel, "in demonstration of his mighty Godhead, in demonstration of his divine office as your high priest before God, as evidence of the Father's satisfaction with his sacrifice in your place." There's no need to be fearful. Why? "Because," said the angel, "Jesus did all of this as he said." He kept his word. And because his word is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, all of his promises and assurances to you are completely trustworthy. They have the guarantee of God himself on them. Could there be any greater cause for joy than that? "Fear not ye, for your reconciliation to God is an accomplished fact. There's nothing to fear. Rejoice! Christ is risen! Hallelujah! But besides the great cause for rejoicing, which we find in the angel's words, we also find in his message a mission. A mission of hope in Jesus' resurrection, which we are to share with those who are still cowering in darkness and in the shadow of death, cowering in fear, cowering in ignorance of this precious Easter gospel. The angel said to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." You see, my dear brethren and friends, it is not enough just to keep all of this wonderful triumph and comfort and joy for ourselves, selfishly hoarding it and not sharing it with all those others who are also intended to be the beneficiaries of Christ's resurrection with us. "Go, go and tell," said the Easter angel. "Go, sing your hosannas and raise your glad voice. Proclaim the blessed tidings that all may rejoice," sings Dr. Walther in that beloved Easter anthem of his. That's the mission that you and I have as witnesses of Christ's resurrection. Witnesses are not just people who have seen something, but witnesses are those who have seen something and say something. Let others know what the Lord Jesus accomplished for them, so that when we see him again, in the heavenly Galilee, as it were, as he has promised we surely will when he comes again on the last day, others will be there too. Other disciples who were brought to the knowledge of their Savior by the Holy Spirit of God in and through his precious gospel and through our testimony as witnesses. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me," Jesus commissions us. Go quickly. Don't waste any time. Go quickly and tell is the mission of hope on which the angel sends us this Easter day. For God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of this precious truth, that they too, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, the hope that you have, the expectation and anticipation that you enjoy by faith in your risen Savior. Oh, beloved in the Lord, no wonder the resurrection of Christ is of such great importance and comfort to us. No wonder our very hearts leap at the news of it once again, as it is proclaimed to us in his precious word. For we have every reason to rejoice in the fact that Jesus really did rise on the third day in triumph over sin death, and Satan. We have every reason to cling to his resurrection in childlike confidence as the seal of our justification before God. Knowing that Jesus' sacrifice in our place was sufficient to purchase our forgiveness. We have every reason to hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead as the guarantee of our own resurrection from our graves on the last day to be with him in the mansions of heaven. And we have every reason, gladly, yes, enthusiastically, to share its message of triumph, of joy, of peace, and of hope also with others. The message that we shout out today as the cause of our Easter rejoicing. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Oh,
Lord Jesus, we sing praise to thee that thou didst rise triumphantly. Death hath now no power o'er us. Thanks to thee, O Christ, victorious. Amen. Let us arise to pray. O Almighty, eternal, and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we praise and bless thee that of thine infinite mercy thou didst not spare thine only begotten Son, but didst deliver him up for our offenses and raise him again for our justification, making him the firstfruits of them that fell asleep, confiding in his merits alone for salvation, yea, for the salvation of their souls and of their bodies. O most faithful Savior Jesus Christ, we give thanks to thee for thy triumphant resurrection, whereby thou hast abolished death and begotten us again unto a living hope, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved for us even now in thy heavenly home above. O God, the Holy Ghost, we praise and glorify thee, that by thy grace the blessed consolations of this sacred season are published to us in our Christian congregations, and that through thy holy word and sacraments, righteousness and salvation, the treasures of thy grace, purchased and won by Christ, are imparted and confirmed to us. We praise thee especially that thou hast brought us together in the true unity of the Spirit, into a fellowship of like-minded brethren, to the end that we may exhort, instruct, admonish, and comfort one another with the precious doctrines of thy word, that we may with all boldness and confidence continue in thy truth and hold fast even unto the end the profession of our faith without wavering. O Holy Trinity, bless thy church and cause the tidings of life to be told unto the ends of the earth. Comfort us evermore with the assurance that our transgressions are hid and sealed in the tomb where our Redeemer lay, and that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Withdraw our hearts from all earthly desires and affections, that as pilgrims and sojourners, we may hasten forward in faith to our inheritance of immortality in heaven. While we live, guide us with thy counsel in and through thy precious word, and when we die, graciously give us the crown of life, that with all the holy angels and the elect who have gone before us, we may praise and glorify thee, world without end. And now in the name of our precious risen Savior, we bring all else upon our hearts to thee in the prayer which he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, dear Heavenly Father, we give thee most hearty thanks that thou didst raise up thy Son from the dead and from his tomb has caused a light of eternal life to shine upon this sin-darkened world. And we beseech thee at this holy season of solemn joy, grant unto us thy Holy Spirit, through the means of thy precious gospel, that we may gratefully embrace Christ's vicarious atonement for our sins and confidently cling to the justification that for his sake thou didst declare for all mankind, that as the fruit of our faith we may serve thee henceforth in pureness of living, in the sure anticipation of life and glory everlasting in heaven, through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, our risen Lord and Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.